I'm Shamita Basu, in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. The coronavirus pandemic has changed so much in our lives, from how we navigate public spaces to the way that we mourn our loved ones. It's also changing how we think about childbirth. Because of concerns about exposure to COVID-19, more and more people are moving away from hospital births to births in the home or at birthing centers with the help of midwives. Midwives are trained to deliver babies and also to assist mothers before, during, and after childbirth. Now, midwives are seeing a surge in demand across the country, but some states restrict access to their services, and that can mean a gap in care for pregnant people in rural and predominantly Black communities, where maternal health disparities already exist. For more on this, we spoke to Dr. Joya Creer Perry, founder and president of the National Birth Equity Collaborative, and Aza Nadari, a certified professional midwife based in the Washington, D.C. area. Midwifery as a profession has been around for a long time, but Dr. Creer Perry says it isn't as widely embraced today as it once was.
Well, we know in the United States, the original midwives were Black women. They were granny midwives. And unfortunately, our history of global anti-Blackness and racism plays out when you see the history of midwifery in this country and the decimation of the field and the hyper-medicalization of the delivery of babies and the birthing of babies.
Aza, you are a midwife. You're in the D.C. area. How has your work shifted in recent months since the pandemic began?
There's been a surge in interest in home birth for many people who were traditionally planning to give birth in a hospital, but have now sought out-of-hospital birth as an option, often due to cited reasons of fear of contracting COVID, concerns about the quality of care that they've been receiving. There's obviously been an uptake in Black women seeking out-of-hospital birth, but in our area, there's actually only a handful of us, meaning Black women, who work as midwives. In the DC area specifically, there are only two of us who are doing home birth. And so the options are very limited. As you can imagine, most of us are full. Some of us are full all the way through the end of the year already because people are calling when they get that first positive pregnancy test, trying to secure a midwife, knowing that the demand is significantly greater than it has been in the past.
Dr. Creer Perry, Aza is talking about the greater D.C. area there. What about nationwide? What do we know? Are people turning more to births outside of the hospital right now?
They sure are. I mean, there's data that's showing that preliminarily that we've seen at least a tenfold increase in desire for out-of-hospital and home births since COVID-19. And the fact is we have not created a system that helps support that. And so although we know that people have been desiring different birth options for years, we never invested in having different birth options and making sure that there was a system so that people could be prepared for a home birth, that they would know where to go if there were any kind of complications and they would have support. None of that's been developed. And so we see this desire by women that has now increased, and yet we have not invested in infrastructure to meet the need.
And Dr. Creer Perry, we have on this program been talking about the maternal health gap, especially as it relates to Black people who are giving birth. Can you talk a bit about how this pandemic is further exacerbating that gap?
What we knew and what we've been advocating around, Aza and I and others in the Black Mamas Matter Alliance, that it was racism that was causing Black women to die in childbirth, that we were dying despite income, education, access to care, that we Black women are more likely to die within a year of having a baby. Even if we have, for example, a master's or a PhD, we are more likely to die than our white counterpart who has no high school education. So the same way when it comes to weight, when it comes to obesity, Black patients who are in normal weight are more likely to die than a white patient. Interpersonal and structural racism that have impacted Black women's bodies for years, now that we have the lack of trust and this disconnection with the health system, that those are going to be even more exposed. And so you see cases in the community who are not getting the care that they need when they are pregnant, and they are not able to avoid the biases that limit their ability to thrive in pregnancy.
Aza, how can midwives help to fill this gap that we're seeing in maternal care, especially during a moment like right now?
Midwives historically have led birth globally as well as in the U.S. I think that in our country specifically, there was a period of time when that shifted, especially in southern states where you've seen the Black midwives were eradicated out of that dynamic. And then in more recent years, you know, we start to see that number slowly start to uptake, but Black midwives still only constitute 2% of all midwives in the United States.
Can you explain what caused that shift away from favoring having midwives involved?
So it actually happened as we get kind of into the turn of the 20th century, mm-hmm. where you have obstetrical birth being touted and promoted as the gold standard for care. And that model wasn't set up and designed initially for the midwife and the OB to coexist in a dynamic, but it came at the eradication of the midwife, right? There was a whole campaign around languaging of how midwives cared for patients. And a lot of that language was that midwives were dirty and that they didn't have good hygiene. This also is undergirded by the resurgence of nurse midwifery and the onset of that. And then that exclusion of Black midwives being able to become nurse midwives, which then further led to the demise of Black midwives in the South, right? So there was parallel dynamics that were happening at the same time. It took a while for Black people to be able to then penetrate that space as well. And so you see this shift where births are moving from home to the hospital, and that becomes the norm over time. People shift to what they presume to be the gold standard for care. And so you have these two parallel tracks, and now we're kind of taking a back step where people are now saying, well, Black women are in this supposedly gold standard environment and they're receiving less care, they're receiving less quality of care, the care is not respectful, and they're dying at higher rates. And even though this has been going on for 20 years, or probably more than that, if we really dig a little bit further, the conversation in the media over the last couple of years has really amplified this issue that we've been talking about for so long. And people are seeking something different. They're looking for different types of care. They're demanding more for their care providers. People are wanting, you know, to explore midwifery as an option. The challenges with midwifery is, one, the accessibility of midwives, especially midwives that are from your community, and two, the cost. And so Medicaid across multiple states do not cover home birth and do not cover out-of-hospital birth. There are some states that do, but midwives are stepping in and filling a huge gap right now that I think is going unnoticed largely, that if those midwives were not there in the community doing this work, like, the hospitals would be overrun right now.
Dr. Krier-Perry, what do we know about improved health outcomes and midwifery? Is there data on this?
We have data to support that patients want less medicalized birth. And also, when they have a less medicalized birth provided through midwifery, they have lower rates of C-sections. They have greater rates of breastfeeding afterwards. We know that because birth has always been a communal event and it requires social support and safety, that the midwifery model of care provides those things. It was built around those tenets. What we haven't been able to unpack in the U.S. is to disengage how racism has hurt the field of midwifery, which also then hurts all of us, because we then need to build a system and be honest about how racism impacts our ability to really grow it bigger and make sure that people who are from the community, as Aza mentioned, are part of the workforce and a part of the field.
Aza, it's my understanding that midwifery practices are not allowed in every state, correct? And that you've been involved in some legislation recently to expand access to midwife services, especially during this pandemic?
So certified professional midwives are not legal in every state. They are legal in 35 states currently. And the District of Columbia recently passed the certified professional midwife bill. So DC is not a state. However, we will be added to that number very shortly. Nurse midwives, which are certified CNM, they are legal in all 50 states to practice. And then certified midwives, which is the other branch, they are actually trained in the same way that nurse midwives are. They just don't go the nursing pathway. They are currently legal, I believe, in about 5 states, but there is legislation that I know is pending in multiple states, or at least states where legislation is being worked on to add CMs for full scope practice as well.
Dr. Krier-Perry, how do you think this moment, this pandemic, might shift how we think about birth and birth choices moving forward?
This is an amazing opportunity for us to really, I think, rethink how we built the system when we built it on the blacks and on the without the exclusion of large groups of people, without even asking women what they want in birth options and how they would prefer to birth. I mean, the origins of obstetrics with Jane Marion Sims and practicing on black women who were enslaved, surgeries without anesthesia. Like, that's our history. That's our truth. And the dismantling of granny midwifery. So we have an opportunity to build something much better and bigger and to really say people want choices. How do we create a room for people to have birth options and birth choices that are safe, from home birth to birth centers to high-level acuity care when needed, and create a system that embraces a women's ability and black women's birthing experiences and choices?
Aza, do you see it similarly? Do you see this as an opportunity as people are shifting their thinking from hospital to home births?
Absolutely. I also see this as an opportunity for us to shift the ways in which we deliver care in this country, the way in which we have conceptualized maternity care in America, and really looking at how do we create a more collaborative and comprehensive system that centers the person and that does not just center the providers in care or center money, right, as an outcome. Mm. Like, Black mamas are still dying, even when they are not COVID positive, they are dying because the quality of care that they are receiving, even during this time, is further exacerbated by the poor quality of care that was already there in the first place. You know, I look at this situation as, how do we walk away from this better, more aware that midwives are necessary to our maternity care system and structure, and that if we work together as a unit, midwives, OBs, all of the people, if we work together, that we can really create something that's beautiful, that actually works. And Dr. Joya always says this. So she says, if we get it right for Black women, we get it right for everybody, right? And I deeply believe that. I think that it has never worked for Black people. And, you know, I think that if they can't get it right, then we're going to have to get it right for ourselves, because we can't continue in this model of care that is killing us.
Aza Nadari is a certified professional midwife, and Dr. Joya Creer Perry is founder and president of the National Birth Equity Collaborative. Both of you, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.